Welcome to Healed Adjacent, where my overflow contributes to your cup. I'm your host, Yazzie G, and I don't know about you, but I'm ready to laugh. Okay, y'all, we're gonna get straight into it today. I'm officially on summer break, and I have been bed rotting since last week, and it has been amazing. So, my quote of the day today is, apologies don't open doors, disrespect closed. Now, I love this quote. If you are in my inner circle, you very likely know how I feel about apologies. I think that when they are genuine, cool, great. But a lot of the times, apologies in my experience just come from guilt. And that's not good enough. You're not, dumping your guilty conscience on me and thinking you're just gonna walk away feeling good. You still did what you did. Like, I will apologize if I know my actions have genuinely harmed or hurt someone. I don't mind, stating that I'm wrong or apologizing for something that I've done, but I don't know. I'm not good about accepting apologies because I just feel like, well, you didn't feel that way when you did it. 'Cause 9 times out of 10, you knew how I was gonna feel. So, yeah, I don't know if I could really get behind that apology because you weren't sorry when you was doing what you was doing. So it's just kind of like, no, I'm already disrespected and this apology is not gonna open that door. Now, you can do the whole forgive and forget. There's nothing wrong with that. But an apology for me, like, I don't know. I'm not one to hold grudges and I won't necessarily like strike somebody out, But at the same time, if you're showing me a pattern of disrespect, yeah, you out of there, gang. You got to go. But anyways, so apologies don't open doors, disrespect closed. Just remember that. I'm gonna get into my high-low buffalo now. So my high is that I've literally just been resting and it's been beautiful. When I tell y'all I have rotted in bed every single day since, well, since my birthday, of course. Oh yeah, shout out to me. My birthday was Sunday. Big 24. It's my Kobe year. But yeah, no, I've literally been resting. I had a great weekend for my birthday. I honestly did not do much of anything. I went out Friday night. Apparently had a good time. Couldn't tell you. Could not tell you, but I had a time. That's what I was told. Amen. So, yeah, I've been resting since, honestly, since my birthday. And it has been amazing. Like, I have not felt lazy per se, which is really, really nice because sometimes you lounge around, especially when you're not used to it. You be like, oh no, like I need to go be productive, I need to go do something. But all of my productivity this week has been in rest. Okay, my body needs it, my mind needs it, my spirit needs it, and it's been so good. Like, I'm very excited to be social, within the next couple of weeks after really just sitting with myself and resting and doing everything that I need to do for me. But I am in enjoying where I am now, and I'm excited to socialize soon whenever I'm ready. Whenever my social battery is a little bit more charged up, we're gonna get into it for sure. So I'm very excited for that. My low of the week is that I am a creature who thrives off of structure, and right now there's not a lot of that. And so, when you get bored, you do dumb things. And I don't want to be in a space of boredom. So I literally just got out of my therapy session and I was telling her, I'm like, girl, I have so many crafts in my closet. Like, I need to be doing something, that maybe is a little passive that doesn't require me to use a whole bunch of brain power, like crocheting or a painting. Those are things that I really enjoy. I actually did do that for my birthday at a picnic, and I painted this really cute mushroom that I got from Marshall's as one of my birthday deals. So yeah, that was a lot of fun, and I watched the sunset and it was a 10 out of 10. But yeah, I don't have a lot of structure or routine to my days or my weeks as of now because we're entering summertime, and so it's just like, ooh girl, what are we gonna do? Like, we need to do something. I don't mind sitting in bed and like binge watching a show. But for me, I don't know, doing that a few days in a row, I start to get a little restless. So I need to do something to kind of occupy my mind, because right now I'm like, okay, we don't have nothing to do. And I'm not quite in that boredom stage yet where it's like, okay, you just start doing stuff because you're bored. I ain't there, because I'm really enjoying my rest. But I know me. I know what my summer last year looked like, and I'm trying not to repeat that. I had a time last summer. Don't get me wrong. I had a time and a half. But that was part of the problem. So, yeah, I just need this summer to look a little bit different for me. My buffalo this week is that I got on a FaceTime call with the girlies, and we planned our first girls trip together. And I am so excited for that. I'll actually be hosting. So this is my first time, like really hosting a group of my friends and making a weekend out of it and doing all the things. And I'm so excited. Okay. Like I'm the type of host that I literally told them, I was like, 'cause they were like, okay, so what do we need to bring like of our own? Like, what don't you have? What do we need to get? Woo, woo, woo. And I'm like, y'all are coming to a home. And Yasmin is hosting. So it's safe to assume that everything is taken care of. Like, I don't play, okay? I'm so excited. Like, I want to make them little baskets and do like a theme night, and make sure I show them the best parts of the city. We have a little bit of something for everybody here. So very, very excited for that. And I'm so proud of us for like hopping on a call, doing all the things. Y'all, like, I literally made an agenda for the call. All the things that we needed to touch on, we touched on all those things and more. Plane tickets were bought. Things are going as they should. Like, it's happening. I'm so proud of us. The trip is making it out of the group chat, period. So yeah, that's been my high low buffalo. Now we're gonna move to out of school education. I'm really excited to talk about this week. I feel like I say that every week, but I am excited. So, this week, my out of school education is that there is no place for worry in the peace that God has helped me to build and maintain. Y'all, if there is ever a time in one's life to worry, for me, that will be now. But it's like, it's almost scaring me the way that I'm not worried, because I feel like I should be. I feel like maybe I should be a little bit more anxious and be on top of certain things a little bit more. But I just have so much peace over the situation. Like, I know that things are happening the way that they should. And I know that big things are happening for me, even if I don't know it quite yet. So I don't know, there's not much room in me for fear in this current moment of my life. Like, I think a lot of that fear for me right now is being drowned out by pure excitement and faith, because I know, I feel it in my bones. I feel it in my bones that something good is coming. And I'm so excited to see. I'm so excited to see me thrive. I'm excited to see me do something new. I'm excited to see me do something fulfilling. Because that hasn't, I won't say I haven't been excited or fulfilled in what I have been doing. But I will say that I'm not sure in this season or in this time in my life that those things are enough. Like, that's something I was literally just going over with my therapist, actually, and she brought something to my attention, and she was just like, maybe the reason you're feeling the way you're feeling is because what you have done up until this point just hasn't been fulfilling enough. Not that you necessarily need to do more, you just need to do something different. And I was like, ooh, you got me there. Because I am always one to feel like, when things aren't working out or if I'm not being fulfilled, that I need to do more. And it's not necessarily always about quantity. Sometimes it's about quality. Is the quality of what you're doing up to par with your fulfillment? And honestly, I thought it was. It really wasn't until her and I got into that conversation that I really was like, oh, am I not fulfilled? Like, I felt like I've been doing things that fulfill me. But then we kind of talked about my people pleasing tendencies, and She brought up some points there that maybe a lot of what I've been doing has been for other people. And I can't necessarily argue with that. Our parents have certain expectations of us, our friends, the people around us, other family members, especially for me. I feel like I grew up kind of always being a little bit of the golden child, the one that nobody really had to worry about, was always expected to succeed and just kind of to know what to do next. And so now I'm having to kind of check in with myself and be like, okay, is this really what I want to do? Is this what Yasmin wants to do? Or does this just sound good when I'm telling it to friends and family, So we tapped on some really, really good stuff in my session today, and I'm coming out feeling like I have some sort of direction. Just in terms of like at least having questions to ask myself, like the right questions, like what is it that fulfills me? What is it that makes me feel special? Or why am I special? Where is it that I am placing my value? Because I have found that a lot of my value is placed in what I can do for others. And so that leaves me feeling very empty sometimes. Because it's like when there's always something to do for someone, but at times I'm like, okay, when there's nothing that I feel like I could be doing or that I have the capacity to do for others, I find myself feeling, I guess, kind of useless. Which is so sad to say, because none of us are useless. We all have a purpose. God woke us up this morning, so of course there's something for us to do, whether it's for ourselves or for someone else. But because I was kind of, people pleasing and identifying with certain things, this is just how the cookie crumbled. So I am rewiring those thought processes or thought processes, and just not allowing old versions of me or old identities to falter what I have now. And what I have now, to be clear, is peace. So I don't want to jump back into people pleasing tendencies or doing something for the sake of doing it, like as we say, do it for the plot. I have no desire to do it for the plot, because it's like the woman that I am and the woman that I've been becoming, my fulfillment looks different. And so I don't want to pour energy and effort into things that are no longer fruitful for me, and I'm still in the process of finding what it is that is fruitful for me, what it is that fulfills me. Because like I said, I thought that I was doing stuff that fulfilled me, but I think I was doing stuff that fulfilled what I was identifying with, that fulfilled who I thought I wanted to be, that fulfilled who I thought my parents wanted me to be, who I thought my friends wanted me to be, And so now that I'm sitting with that, I'm like, whew, all right. We kind of got to do some serious thinking, We got to start asking ourselves certain questions, and I really want to set future Yasmin up for success. It's literally what I would always tell my kids in school. Like, I'm here to set you up for success. And how I do that is by planning for your future mistakes, but also planning for your future successes. And so that's where I am. I need to figure out what it is that I even want to do, what's fulfilling to me, where can I maintain my peace, where do I want to put my effort and energy into, what does that look like for this version of Yasmin, and that's going to set me up for success for the future version of me. So very, very, very exciting revelations. A little scary. Like, I was literally sitting here and I was like, it's so scary to think that a lot of what I've done up until this point has been for someone else, even when the intention was good, right? Like, we grow up wanting to please our parents. That's literally natural. But a lot of us aren't taught really the proper ways to do that and how to kind of grow out of that, how to start pleasing yourself as you get older. We're not really taught that sense of autonomy in that way. And so we're having to unlearn a lot of the things that we learned in childhood and develop new coping mechanisms and realize that we are not a product of our environments. Like, we are as long as we allow ourselves to be, but if you don't want to be, you do have the capacity and the power to change that. So it's just important to sit with those things and know that at any point in your life, you can pivot, and that is okay. You can say no to something that you have said yes to for your whole life. You could say yes to something that you said no to your whole life. You could try something new. You can start over. It doesn't matter if you are 10, if you're 12, you're 25, you're 50, like God woke you up this morning with a purpose. And if that purpose is to give your life a 180, then guess what you need to get up and do today? Give your life a 180 because you have the power to do so. So yeah. Oh, that felt good talking about that. So that was my out of school education. Next, we're gonna get into this is for becoming. And this week, this actually really ties into the previous segment. So my this is for becoming this week is for asking the questions. I got some homework a couple weeks ago from my therapist. I don't, you know, I need I don't even know if she's a therapist. I don't know if it's considered like counseling or therapy, 'cause you know it depends on their credentials and things of that nature. I want to say she's technically a counselor. But I don't know, girl. Sometimes that's too much to think about. I'll just say therapy because that's what comes to mind. That's what slips off the tongue naturally. But anyways, asking the questions, and like I was saying, this ties into the previous segment because I was saying, I'm taking the time to not worry, but to also realize that maybe I haven't necessarily been doing things that are fulfilling for me in the ways that they should be, or as much as they should be. And so I'm taking the time to ask myself the questions rather than being complacent in where I am or getting comfortable, really, because that's like one of my fears, getting comfortable in where I am. I'm choosing to make both passive and active growth. And what's important to me with this growth, with these questions, is that I take it gradually and that I don't, I think of it kind of like rock climbing. You as you go, you place your foot in one groove, then you move your hand, then your other hand, then your foot, and it's like if you're trying to grab a groove that's 3, 4, 5 feet up, but you have one right here that's a foot away from you, why? Why would you go so far up just to risk the chance of falling? Just because, you know what I mean? Just because you can. Sure, you can reach for that groove that's 3 feet out, but you could also reach for the one that's 1 foot away. And so that's where I am, is wanting to be gradual in that process, but also celebrating that because I have a really hard time celebrating my small wins. I have no problem celebrating that when it comes to someone else, but when it comes to Yasmin, it's like, oh, well, this was small. Like this isn't anything worth celebrating. But it really is, because I could have woken up that day and chosen not to do whatever it is that I did. And I do get a lot of what's the word I'm looking for? Like intrinsic validation from a lot of what I do. That's why it's so important to me to be fulfilled. But even in saying that, it's like a lot of what I do is for other people, but that makes me happy. Like doing for others makes me happy. I just have to find a space where I can do that, but not attach all of my value to it. Because it's like if I'm not doing for others, like I literally feel useless. Like I like to feel needed. I like to feel useful. I like to know that what I'm doing is actually of service to somebody. And when it's not, I find myself lacking in self-worth, honestly. And that's like crazy for me to even say. I feel like if you've ever encountered me in person for real, I don't think that's a trait that you would really align with me, like a lack of self-worth. And I don't lack that to the point of just disrespecting myself, but I definitely just think that I could work on it and I can work on valuing myself in other areas other than what I'm doing for others, like I enjoy my own company. I think I'm funny. I think I'm a light. Like I enjoy my smile. I enjoy my ambition. I enjoy the things about me that have nothing to do with other people. I just haven't found a way to, I don't know, bring that to the top, I guess, or prioritize those things and celebrate those things because a lot of times if they don't involve other people, I'm like, oh, okay, yeah. Cool, whatever. So, yeah, my this is for becoming is for asking the questions, for doing the work, whether it's passive or active, because right now, I'm doing a whole lot of rest, so a lot of my work and growth is passive, but I don't mind that because that's what I need in this season, and it doesn't make me feel guilty. It doesn't make me feel like I'm not doing enough or I need to be punished. It's just like, no, this is where we are, and I'm excited to be here. I'm excited to be present, and to just really to live in the front seat, like I don't want to be in the back seat of my life. I want to be the one driving, the one making decisions, of course, with his hand. But I don't want to just cruise through life. Like I want to be active in who I am and who I choose to be around and what I do. So shout out to me for asking the questions and doing the work. Next, we are moving into God's promise. So God's promise to me this week is that my prayers will be answered in his time. What did I say? My prayers will be answered in his time. Like it was so long ago, it feels like at this point, that I prayed for just a peace that could not be disrupted by any spirit, any person, any environment, any room. And over the last like month, I would say I received bits and pieces of that, but now it's in full effect. Okay, it's full throttle. Like I told y'all, I have every reason to be worried about where I am in my life right now, but I am simply not. And let me not even say that because that sounds so like, oh girl, I'm just like, down bad. That's not the case, y'all. I just am figuring some things out in terms of what I want to do with my life, with my career, the type of people that I want to surround myself with. And so it's like I've had a lot of peace over the last month just thinking about those things and ruminating in certain thoughts. Like you would think they would make me spiral, because once upon a time they did make me spiral having those thoughts and planning for these kind of like big girl things, but they haven't. In his timing, he has given me so much peace, and it's like when I was asking for it, I felt like I was so miserable, and I was like, God, like why, what is going on? Like I don't want to feel this. What is happening? Like what can we do to switch it up? And it kind of goes back to what my therapist was saying, like you don't need to do anything more, you need to do something different. And I watched myself literally over the last like month and some change just do things differently. And not more, not less either per se, but just differently. And I've watched how that has shifted my mindset. And now I just have like this inner peace that is really like, it don't matter what environment I'm in, y'all are not taking this from me, period. I even at work, like I noticed like my principal had to ask me if I was coming back. It was well known around my school that I was not coming back. And I Not even, I'm pretty sure, for a fact, I made that very clear. And one day he pulled me in his office. He was like, "Are you returning?" And I was just like, I'm confused because y'all are literally hiring somebody else. I told y'all I'm not coming back. Why are you asking me that?" But even still, it's like I had so much peace in that. And I bring that up because usually that's something that would really ruffle my feathers. Like, because in my mind, he thought I was stupid. When he asked me that question, because they had already been interviewing for my position, doing demo lessons, doing all the things, like position actively posted on the website, and you asking me if I'm returning, do I look stupid? But like, no, that really didn't ruffle my feathers for real, because God was instilling in me so much peace. Like it was just like, you know what? Clearly I got stupid written on my forehead, but I'm gonna let you rock. And I did, and I didn't take it no further than it needed to be. Now, did I give him a little bit of attitude? Absolutely, because again, do you think I'm stupid? But it wasn't what it could have been. So I'm just very grateful that God has continued to answer my prayers, and it might not necessarily be right in that moment or when I want it, but I know that in due time, it will be mine. So yeah. That has been God's promise. We're going to move into our very last segment, which is Bone Apple Titty. Now, I am switching this up forever and ever, amen. Because I just feel like it's not really feasible for me to give recipes and like what I do in the kitchen in on like using this media, or this medium of art. And I only say that because like, you can't see me doing it. And I just feel like talking about it, it's not the same. You can't see me doing it, then it doesn't really make sense to keep doing. And if and when the day comes that I make this podcast, I give it like visuals, so there's also like a video of me doing this, then I might reintroduce Bon Appetit as the original segment that it is, which is giving recipes and stuff, because maybe I'll like cook on the podcast. Like that would be really cool, for that segment to be in the kitchen. So yeah, but until then, we are switching up Bon Appetit to be Food for Thought. I think I'm gonna keep the title as Bon Appetit, and we'll just have like a, what is it called? A subtitle? Food for Thought. And this is actually going to become a storytelling segment. And I'm very excited about that because I love storytelling. I feel like my life is very interesting, so I would love to be able to tell some of my stories. Now, I obviously have to use some discernment in choosing which stories I tell, because your girl has been in some raunchy situations for sure. So just deeming what's appropriate to share and what's not. But for this week's first story time, I'm actually going to talk about an incident that happened at my last job at the school that I was working at. And a lot of the people in my like inner circle, just in my life in general, honestly, know about this story because it was so big. It was literally like a shifting point for me and my job and my workplace. So yeah, it was a big deal. Anyways, let me get into it. So let me set the scene for y'all. It's like a Wednesday morning, raining cats and dogs. Yasmin is late for work. But Yasmin is driving as safely as she can to get to work, okay? And mind you, Yasmin lives at least 30 minutes away from her job. So, think about that. Plus the rain, plus traffic. It's a lot going on, right? Not to mention, Yasmin has major anxiety when she gets behind the wheel because she's been in her fair share of accidents, okay? So, I get real shaky in the car. I'm in my car. I'm probably like 5 minutes out from my apartment, like literally just left. And I get a call from my principal, and I'm like, I'm not thinking too much of it because at the time in my mind, I was not late because I was under the impression that I needed to be there for a certain time. So I was gonna be late for that time too, but like I wasn't late yet. So I was like, oh, like this is weird. Why is he calling me? So I answered the phone like all sweet. I'm like, hi, good morning. And he's like, is there a reason that you didn't let me know that you will be late? I said, whoa, hold on. Hold on, buddy. It's 7 o'clock in the morning. Relax. And I was like, late? Like, what do you mean late? Like, I thought we had to be there, for X time. He's like, no, you're supposed to be here for this time. And I was like, okay, well, I'm on my way. I was like, the kids can sit with, so and so while I'm getting there. And he was like, yeah, they're already in here. She called me to figure out what was going on. First of all, no, she didn't. Why'd you throw her under the bus like that? Because I know that sweet lady did not call you to try to figure out where I was. She literally would have just texted me. But okay, you got it. So we get off the phone and I am seething because it's like, how dare you speak to me like that on a phone that you don't pay for at 7 o'clock in the morning? On top of that, again, it's raining, traffic is heavy. I'm already late. I'm like shaking because anxiety from driving, but also I'm angry and I have no way to like expel all of this energy that's in my body. So, as I'm getting close to work, I call my mama because I'm just like, girl, I don't even know like if I can go in the building right now. Like I just feel so off. And she just kind of is, talking me through the whole thing, and she's like, look, that's how he talks to people, which is true. Like, it wasn't, he was just talking to me like that. Like, unfortunately, that is his communication style. So, while I wasn't necessarily taking it personally, I still deemed it as inappropriate for you as a employee or the employer to be talking to the employee in that way. So, I eventually muster up the courage to walk into school, but like, as I'm doing it, I literally start having an anxiety attack. And I'm like, this is great. This is excellent. I love this so much. Best thing that could ever happen to me. Mind you, it was a field trip day. And this was like only the second time our kids had ever taken a field trip. So it was literally a learning curve for everyone. So you put all that into perspective. It's raining cats and dogs. It's heavy traffic. I have anxiety. You calling me, talking me crazy. It's 7 something in the morning. I'm already late. It's one of our like first ever field trips. Like, it's just a lot going on. It's a lot of moving pieces for everyone involved, him included. So I get there, I start having an anxiety attack, and I'm like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, what am I gonna do? So I go to my co-teacher, I'm like, look, so sorry I'm late. I'm having an anxiety attack. I just need a minute. And so I go to the bathroom. I'm in there for like 20, 30 minutes trying to calm myself down. And I'm like, the bus is about to leave, like I have to go, but like I can't stop crying. Like it was a whole thing. So I had to go to my director and I told her what happened, and she was like, that is unacceptable. She was like, if you want to advocate for yourself, I am standing behind you. Like, do what you need to do. Do you need to go sit in my office for a little bit? Like, oh, she is such a godsend. Bless her, really. I love her so much. And so yeah, we sorted through all of that, and I went on the field trip, and throughout the duration of that, I was fine. But at that point, I was grappling with whether or not I was going to advocate for myself, because it kind of didn't feel like that big of a deal, because again, he speaks to everybody like that. But at the same time, I'm like, you speak to everybody like that because a lot of these teachers and faculty and staff members, they just don't speak up for themselves for whatever reason. Everybody has their own reason for picking and choosing their battles and using their discernment to pick and choose which battles they decide to fight. And usually one with him is just not one that they want to get into. And that is totally fair. And I understand that. Me, however, it's only so much that I can tolerate. And let me say, this was my first like issue with him. Like, I had a few little incidents with him, but nothing to really report for real. This was my first incident with him where I was like, oh, this is affecting like my body, and so I'm gonna have to speak up for myself, because I'd actually spoken up for other coworkers. I had witnessed the what he was doing and how he was speaking to them and the language that he was using, and I was like, absolutely not. And I did. I went to him and I was like, hey, the way that you are speaking to them is unacceptable. As a leader, you don't do that. And he actually was very receptive. And he had spoken to those teachers after the fact, which, come to find out, it wasn't much of an apology. It was definitely an acknowledgement of his behavior, but that was it. There was no like remorse, no like, oh, like this needs to be accompanied with changed behavior. It was just like, sorry that your feelings were hurt, basically. And so I was like, all right. And at that point, I said, okay, I'm gonna just let him rock, which is why the few incidents following that up, like the small little thing, I just let it rock, because at that point, I knew what type of person he was. But when he had made me feel that way, and I'm having an anxiety attack, and I can't even like go sit with my kids because I'm like trying to calm down, like now I have to do something. And the following day, I went to him. And I was like, hey, yeah, like we should talk. You got some time? He was like, yeah. So I'm like, cool. So we sit down and I'm just like, look, I really did not appreciate the way that you spoke to me the other day. I was like, I take full responsibility for being late, like, well, cool, whatever. But one, I've never been late before. Two, I don't have no type of anything on my record that would require you to deem me someone who has to be spoken to in that way. Not that anybody should really be spoken to in that way, if I'm being honest, but and so yeah, I'm just like, I that wasn't appropriate. I found it to be disrespectful. And it does not need to happen again. And so he basically, oh y'all, I can't believe this man. He basically was just like, sorry that your feelings are hurt. I understand that you think this is a like my communication is a growth area for me. And he's saying that because, again, this is not my first time confronting him about the way he's speaking to people. It's just my first time confronting him about the way he's speaking to me. And so he was just like, I understand that you believe this to be, growth area for me as far as my communication, but the type of leader that I am, I don't deem it necessary to change my communication style. Cool. So what I got from that was, you as a leader are not willing to grow, even when this is a problem that almost everybody in this building has with you. Heard. So then I went to my director and I said, how do I put in my letter of resignation? And if it wasn't for the boo-boo job market, baby, I would have been out of that job by March. But God had other plans. And I saw it through. I saw it through the end of the school year, which I am very, very happy that I did. Like, oh my goodness, I love my kids so much. I miss them already. I sent out such a heartfelt email to the parents on the last day because I wanted them to know that I was leaving with a heavy heart. Like, this was not something that was a light decision, you know, leaving the school, or something that was an easy decision to make. I really went back and forth over whether or not I could tolerate another year for the sake of the kids, because it's not like you work with the principal every day. You know what I mean? Like, you see them every so often. And honestly, because him and I had them run-ins, he left me alone for the most part. And he actually started being nice to me. Which I don't really care about that, because I feel like niceties are just performative. You know, if you are genuinely a kind person, cool. But you just being nice in my face and then turning around and like doing the opposite to somebody else, or speaking poorly of me behind my back, whatever the case may be, like, I'm good on that. Just be a a-hole. Honestly, I'd rather you live in that truth than to pretend to be nice to me for the sake of saying you were nice, only to not really be that type of person at heart. So yeah, y'all, I really, ooh, that did me in, honestly. After that incident, especially with him telling me that like nothing was going to change and me being so eager to quit, I literally started having like anxiety attacks at work. If I would hear his footsteps or like hear his voice around the hallway, like I would run into the nearest classroom so I didn't even have to see his face. Like, nobody should be made to feel that way at their workplace. And I wasn't the only one. There are unfortunately so many amazing, amazing teachers there who felt the same way. And I just think it's unfortunate that as a corporation, you know, our school isn't doing more to get the right professionals in these positions. You know, unfortunately, education is very political. And the type of school that I work for, or worked for, I won't say they're just all in it for the money, but it's not cheap. And so when they get somebody in there who can bring in the dollar signs that they want to see, who can bring in the test scores that they want to see, that's all that matters at the end of the day. The kids are just a number. And that's very unfortunate. And I want to be a part of a system that changes that. I'm just realizing that maybe it's not in the classroom. Maybe that's not how I do that. So yeah, y'all, that was the new Bon Appetit slash food for thought. What would you have done in that situation? Like, would you have completely just went off on him and quit that day? Like, y'all just don't have the savings for that. Like, maybe I couldn't afford to just quit my job, girl. I couldn't afford to quit the JOB. But what would you have done? Would you have quit? Would you have cursed him out? Would you handle it with more grace? You know, I hate that it had my body feeling that way, like going to work and just feeling anxious. And literally, like, he had to observe my class a few or a couple weeks after that incident, and I couldn't even recall to anyone what I taught, how the lesson went, anything, because when he walked in that room, I basically blacked out. Like, I was there, but I wasn't there. And afterwards, like, I literally just remember the weight that was lifted off of my chest when he walked out the room. Like, ooh, y'all don't wish that on nobody. So yes, very happy to be leaving that school. Very happy to be leaving that misery behind. You know, prayers for all the individuals that stay. Prayers, prayers, sorrows. Okay, sorrows, sorrows, prayers. Because that simply cannot be me anymore. So yeah, I hope you guys enjoyed this episode of Healed Adjacent. It ran a little bit long today, which is crazy because I was like, I don't have too much to talk about. Like, what's this episode gonna look like? But no, girl, we about to hit 40 minutes. So let me go ahead and wrap this up. You guys know where to follow me on Instagram at Healed Adjacent Podcast. I am also on TikTok at That Girl Yasmin, THTGRLYASMINE. I hope that you guys have thoroughly enjoyed this episode, maybe gotten some laughs or some good food for thought, some good soul food for thought, and that I did something to fill your cup up today, to bring a smile or some joy to your day. So thank you for listening. And with that, I bid you adieu.